What's happening? Vols and Doors. Vandy boys and Vol baseball both heading to Omaha. We'll have John Wilkerson, voice of Vol baseball and longtime voice on the Vol network, in the next segment. That'll be a fun conversation. And the first question I want to ask him is, when this season started, did you think this was actually in the offing?
Have to.
When did you actually figure out this team was good?
Have
so
to.
People are giving you pats on the back. I gave you some real layups today. I could have chosen violence, but it's Monday. But based on this, there'll be no more layups.
Hey, I'm for the people, man.
If you hadn't gotten Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Hey, man. We won today. Me, Benny, Ron, Michael DeJesus, everybody.
I don't know if you
right
won
now,
if
man.
You don't know that Marla Gibbs.
Hey, Casey.
You didn't even know who Marla Gibbs was.
Jay, I was close to the answer. It felt right, Jason. I crushed the birthday segment and said, if you missed it, podcast us, because that was epic today. I don't care if I got a 54 in the test.
By the way, I was right. Chris Evans is 40.
He's
the 40? Cleveland newspaper was wrong and said 39. I said 40 because I'd seen it on Twitter. He's 40.
Jason. That is the merit.
On Cleveland. Them, not me.
It's Cleveland. Come on now. That's the reason the cicadas are in Ohio right now. It ain't because of all the other cities. Well, Cincinnati, too. Let me stop with my AFC North hate. It's all good.
You're not going to stop with that
I
hate.
Won't. I will not.
Stop
Absolutely
this.
Not.
What are you even talking about
Absolutely
right now?
Absolutely not. The reason that they got his birthday wrong. It was the Cleveland paper that did it. Come on, Jason. Stick with me, man.
Mikey Dreamer, Ramon, here's your top op. Ramon is the Barry Horowitz of birthday guesses. Meaning he pats himself on the back for nothing.
Uh-oh.
Because he was a jobber.
Uh-oh. Like Steve Harvey announcing Miss America, Miss
yeah.
Universe. Sorry, y'all. I got it wrong. Oh, cringeworthy.
But you said today was a good day, and I said, yeah, I guess day. Mama cooked the breakfast with no hog.
Hey, I got my grub on. Hey.
But didn't pig out?
Finally. Nah,
stop there. Stop right there.
Benny, Ron. Thanks for the support on YouTube. Golly, my camera froze again. While I'm laughing.
Yep. You break the camera when you laugh.
Every time I laugh. I'm having a good time, man. That's all it is. It's Monday, everybody. Enjoy this week. We crushed today because I crushed the birthday segment. And Vols crushed this weekend. Vandy crushed this weekend. Le'Veon crushed his dreams of playing for Andy Reid again.
Wait a second now. The poll question I have is, do you really know who Amani Hooker is before we kind of led you
I
to
know
it?
Who Amani Hooker is.
It took like 2 minutes for you to get there, Mo.
I was playing it up, man.
Now I'd believe you less.
You know what? That's all a part of it, baby. All the part of it, Jay. But those birthdays was really, really right.
Vols get it done over LSU, 4-2 and then 15-6. Vandy boys had it done before the Vols even pitched their first one against LSU on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Just handled it rocker and lighter. They're all heading to Omaha now. And again, and this is what we say off the top of the show. For the state, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
The rivalry is fun. Some people are in their feelings on both sides.
Yeah.
Eventually, it'll shake out on the field, whether it's against one another or elsewhere. But it's good because right now, this sport has an opportunity to count because the NBA isn't doing a ton. One of the things you're seeing in the ratings trends is the diehards are back, but that's it.
Yeah.
No casuals being pulled in at all. And I said you were going to have short-term pain if you didn't have LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
But long-term, this is the best thing, is to get some new blood out there to make some other teams. It feels like you have a reason to watch these teams again.
Yes.
Because they're winning games right now. But college baseball can fill a void because of the timing of its postseason.
Mm-hmm.
It times out right. Julio's already signed.
Yep.
The state of Tennessee can actually just kind of pivot and pay attention to what's happening in these two schools, and that's important.
Man, it was real cool, man, watching you talk about what an opportunity baseball has, man, and the emotions and feels of it. I'm not sure if y'all saw it or was paying attention to it, but when they, you know, panned the camera on Kumar's mom and the emotions that she had when that was his last at home. I'm not sure if that was his last pitching opportunity. Schaefer fixes my camera.
I hate everyone.
Schaefer fixes my camera like he's about to change the oil on the car. But
Kumar's talking about him changing oil when he's underneath the table there. We don't need a Christian Wilkins here.
But Kumar's mom, man, her emotions for her kid, who probably out of high school would have been a high draft pick, but they had a standard in their family where, no, you're going to go get your education. And they sent him to Vanderbilt. He was good enough to go to Vanderbilt, and him to be 3 years there, man. That's sports. That's the beauty of, like you said, this time of the season where this World Series has been really, really awesome to watch, especially with the two in-state teams right now doing what they're doing. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, man. I'm a Vol for life. But Kumar and Leiter, solid dudes when you respect the game.
So here's something for you. The Madden 22 cover is being revealed on the 17th.
Ooh.
And Madden has put up, like, the official Madden Twitter has put up, like, a video here. And it's a goat and a baby goat.
All I can think of is Brady and Mahomes.
Or Brady and Manning, if you're wanting to just go historic. But Brady and Mahomes is what I would say.
Last, they did a two-person with Troy and Larry Fitzgerald.
So, yeah, it looks like it could be two players, and it's goat and a smaller goat. Mahomes was on the cover a couple of years ago.
It's got to be somebody with a ring. You know what I'm saying?
If it's, and I need to watch it with sound because there's somebody talking in this thing. It seems like it's Brady and Mahomes. And that's what now people are saying. That's the leak, is it is indeed Brady and Mahomes. So that's, it's the two. Cool. So I told you, look, it's two quarterbacks, if that's what it is.
If you believe in the Madden curse, do you feel better about this now? As far as them missing time?
I mean, I'm surprised it's Mahomes again because they usually don't do that. If indeed that's what they're going to do, we haven't seen it yet.
Goat and a baby goat.
But it being a goat means Brady is definitely it. And Brady's actually never been on the cover of Madden before.
Has he not? I wonder, has he turned it down? New England probably just told him, no, you can't do this for a while. Get all the rings we need, and then you can do it. I didn't realize Tom hadn't had it.
It's a goat and a smaller goat. I say a baby goat. I assume that's what they're going with. It leads me to think that this is Brady and Mahomes. I guess it could be Brady and Henry, but
who would you rather be? Who would you rather?
If Brady's never been on a cover of Madden,
I got to now.
Him being on there makes all the sense in the world.
Would you be mad if they walked Brady right into
was
the
he
Hall
on
of
a
cover?
Was Brady on a cover? Did I? Am I wrong about that?
That year he got hurt. Was he on there?
I don't think he's ever been on a cover, Kerry. Kerry's sending me YouTube saying Brady was on a cover. I don't think he was.
Madden covers.
Just like Peyton never was because he was contracted out by Microsoft's NFL game for so long. He was never on one. Madden 18, Brady was on Madden 18. Okay. I wasn't playing as much then, so gotcha. All right.
Yes,
he has been
on. He was
on
18.
Okay.
Gronk was the year before on 17.
Okay, that was definitely the year I was not playing Madden.
Yeah, I was playing then too.
I took a few years off because the game just was the same.
Last time it was two people was Troy and Larry Fisher.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh.
I definitely remember that. We got John Wilkerson of Vol Baseball and the Vol Network coming up on the other side. We'll talk to him about what this has felt like, what it's done for Knoxville, what it means for the state of Tennessee. And I mean with Vandy and Tennessee both going to Omaha, when he realized this team was good, all the stuff about Tony V, it's definitely going to be good. Yeah, a lot of people are dragging me. Yeah, I got you. He was in 2018. It didn't make sense that he wasn't on
Mahomes
one. So,
on,
yeah, got you. Too, yeah, I'd said Mahomes had been because Lamar was on the year after Mahomes was, which is why if you were going in that order, maybe Josh Allen would have been on the cover because he was the guy that elevated himself last year. But if it's a goat and a smaller goat, what was everybody calling Mahomes? The baby goat. So that would indicate maybe Mahomes is about to make his second appearance in 3 years.
Think who's young quarterbacks other than Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? I can't call them baby goats yet.
The baby goat thing, it doesn't make sense if it's another quarterback for it to be anybody but Mahomes with Brady.
And Brady.
But we'll see. And we'll talk about it on the 17th. And then we can actually see whether or not that's a good thing that you want your guy on the cover or not with the Jinx. We got John Wilkerson coming up on the other side. We'll talk all things Vol baseball with him next. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, working on grabbing John Wilkerson, voice of Tennessee baseball. So the Madden cover. They've tweeted this video. I've tweeted it out from at J. Mart Radio, the Madden video. They are going to release the cover on the 17th. And the video shows a goat and a baby goat coming out of a barn. And then it's Peyton Hillis, who's on his cell phone. He's like, hey, it's Peyton. They did it again. All right, so Peyton Hillis was a running back. It's 22. My initial thought was, oh, well, Brady and Mahomes are the goat and the baby goat because that's what they've been calling them. That's certainly what you're leading to by that part of it.
Yeah.
But they've done it again like it's a surprise because Peyton Hillis was on a cover.
It was a surprise.
And it's 22. A lot of people are saying, and I can understand this, Emmitt and Derrick Henry, because they both wear 22. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Emmitt is the goat. So it's kind of odd to go that way.
He was mine growing up, though.
I get it. I'm not necessarily saying he's not. I'm just saying that that's a much different discussion, right?
Emmitt's, as far as him having the
I guess it's a yards thing. I guess as a yards thing, you could go there. But, I mean, Jim Brown's on line one.
So, yeah. He's one of them, though.
That's what I'm saying. He's one of them.
But you're saying Emmitt doesn't control the conversation of the GOAT. Like when you talk about running backs, he's not the first name that pops up.
Well, he's definitely in. He's somebody that's going to be mentioned very quickly.
Yeah.
But I think maybe if you're just doing it and you're basing it on the number, then both of them wearing 22 would make some kind of sense.
I mean, if we look at what M has laid down, though, it's a shame he's not in that early GOAT conversation.
No, he is. Like he is in the early GOAT conversation. I'm not saying he's not in a conversation. Okay. I'm just saying that it's a little bit harder where I think you can get to Brady being a GOAT pretty quickly, right? Because of how many he's won.
Mm-hmm.
Some would try to say otherwise, but I think that's a difficult pull. But like you get to running backs. We did that topic about which running back was your favorite and all. And you start thinking about Gale Sayers and Barry Sanders and
Jim Brown
and Walter Payton and all of these different guys. It's just a much harder. It's just harder there. You're the right. Only thing I don't disagree that if it's Emmitt and Derrick Henry, that's pretty cool.
That's
right? Really
cool. In 22.
Exactly. It makes sense. And Derrick Henry being on the cover to me makes a heck of a lot of sense also. Because most everybody else has had their time in that sun. There's not really a reason to revisit it necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't think putting the goats out there is the smartest play because it's going to lead to a weird conversation.
Yeah, I know what you're getting.
Because literally they called him the goat and the baby goat last year for Brady. Hell, the Madden 18 cover that everybody's sending me right now that Brady was on, there was a special edition of that game, the goat edition, the greatest of all time edition, which then I all of a sudden remembered, yes, I do remember Madden 18.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only part of it I object to. I don't object if that's what they pick. I object to going with the goats just because that was truly the nickname that was being used for those two guys in the same sentence with one another,
all
who,
the
by
time.
The way, just opposed each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I could easily see you're trying to kind of push it over here because you're going to go with Derrick Henry and Emmitt Smith. Cool. Fine. That'll be an awesome cover. Well-deserved.
Are they using goat a little bit too frequently, though?
Goat's thrown out way too much.
Way too much. They could have called it something else. See, that's what this does, though, when you throw out baby goat and goat like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's my point. And maybe that's all they want. Maybe they just want this conversation. But I just think it's wrong only because we literally just had two guys being described as what you have coming out of that barn. So if you're not going with Brady and Mahomes, then what exactly have you done here?
It was another famous.
You could have done anything else.
But it's got to be Emmitt and Derrick Henry then. The year, was it Madden 22 this year? Both 22s? Yeah, that makes a whole
lot
of sense.
It does. It does. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it does. Makes a whole lot of sense.
And if you're going to do it, I mean, Derrick Henry coming off a 2,000-yard season and Emmitt having the yards numbers that he has, you could certainly pull that off.
Super Bowl MVP, MVP. He had a heck of a year. He didn't win the Heisman, but got Offensive Rookie of the Year, too, his rookie year. Did Derrick Henry get Rookie of the Year that year? Or no. I don't think so. This is really cool. I wonder if they're going to put Emmitt in a jersey or not.
I mean, I think you just have to pick one of his. I mean, it's not going to be a current photo. It would be him running the ball with the Cowboys.
But most times they do the photo shoot still. It's just interesting. Emmitt's career, I knew it was amazing. But looking at his accolades, wow.
It just seems like maybe you pick a different animal than the goats because of the conversation it leads to.
Florida, Alabama, I don't know what you could do with that. Now, college, I mean, cover. If it was NCAA football with them two on it, I'm buying that two times.
Well, sure.
Bring it back, please.
And like I said, I think Emmitt and Henry makes a lot of sense because of the jersey numbers, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. I'm not mad about it.
I'm not. If that's what they if they go with that, that makes sense.
The real question too is, or is this going to dive into a deeper conversation? How much longer does Derrick Henry got to do what he got to do to actually be the GOAT or one of the GOATs? You know what I'm saying? How much longer?
I have no idea. I think it's like the definition of obscenity that was used in the Supreme Court in a decision. I know it when I see it.
Okay.
I think there'll be a moment where, okay, now we can have this conversation.
Yeah.
Assuming you can get to that conversation, I should say. I don't know what the number is. I think right now we're still trying to figure out, is he a Hall of Famer? He's not yet.
Not yet.
If he does this one more time, he is.
Has there been an era of this many good running backs, though? I feel like it has been. It always is, like four or five. Looking at Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara.
There have been many better running back eras than this.
Eras than this.
Many more.
Who's with Marshawn and his group? Okay, Adrian Peterson.
I mean, I wouldn't even look at those guys. I'd look further back. I would talk about, Thurman Thomas and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Even further back, because that was Thurman Thomas and Emmitt Smith and Jerome Bettis and, like, a lot of those kind of backs that were all running at the same time. This is not a running backs league anymore, but there are a bunch of good backs. Like, one of the things that ignited Twitter over the weekend was somebody suggesting via numbers, via analytics, one of the analytics guys saying that Nick Chubb's the best running back in the league.
I saw that. They did the
And some people
DVOA.
Didn't care for that at all. And I was like, well, if you look at it from numbers, and we talked to Robert Mays and Nate Tice is on with Buck from time to time, and I've heard them discuss it. They say they would take Chubb over any back in the league if they were starting a team. And they were talking about, look, he's got speed, he's got power, he's got all of these different things. And, Alan Bell kind of fought back against this, and he was mobbing for Derrick Henry pretty hard. And I'm like, Alan, well, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but the thing stopping Nick Chubb from being in the conversation is because Kareem Hunt's there. He's never going to get the touches, and he's been hurt a little bit, and that's hurt as well. Okay, we are now joined by the voice of Vol Baseball, John Wilkerson. John, it's been a fun time, I'm sure, for you. We appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it, Jason and Ramon. Thank you so much. It has been a remarkable season. And let me just first say that I think I'd have to go buy a nose with Loud Muffler Guy over Shopping Cart Guy.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Loud Muffler. But you said buy a nose, so you don't like Shopping Cart Guy either, right?
Correct. Both are... could possibly ruin your day, but just Loud Muffler Guy that has to hit it from just one block, one traffic light to the next is what separates it to me.
Well, nobody's been able to take it down yet. Somebody compared him to Nick Saban earlier and just said, I don't know what's ever going to defeat that. But you tell me, when was it you realized something special was happening for Vol Baseball with Tony Vitello and this crew? Because I think this has caught a lot of people that weren't paying attention somewhat off guard, but I know you being close to it, maybe it didn't catch you as off guard as it has some of the other folks out here.
Well, I think that something started to bubble to the surface. What really, I think, set it apart was that first SEC weekend. They're on the road at Georgia because Tony Vitello has yet to open an SEC schedule at home. Thank you very much, Greg Sankey. But anyhow, so they go to Foley Field. They win big on Friday. They have a tough setback. They lose in the bottom of the ninth on Saturday. And then they come out Sunday, a freshman making his first pitch, his first start in the Southeastern Conference, and they simply controlled the day. They win 4-1. It wasn't even really that close. And when the game was over and the series had been won, they celebrated, but they didn't go nuts. This was their expectation. And this was already a team that had lost the one pitcher on their roster that had been designated preseason All-American in Jackson Lease. They had lost him for the season. It was week two that he worked the three batters in his home start, and then unfortunately Jackson Lease was lost for the season. So to just see them set that tone, that Friday night game was Tony Vitello's 100th win as Tennessee's head coach, but the fact that they went down to Georgia, got the job done, and then just acted like this is what we expected to do, that set such a tone. They had won at Georgia Southern to open the season, but to get that first road win, that road series win in Georgia, that lets you know something was perhaps cooking. And then they took care of LSU. They won three very tough games in week two. Then they won the rubber match at Alabama. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. But to me, the tone was set with how they went at Georgia, and then two, acted like this is what we thought would happen.
Mm-hmm. Just in general, you know, the way, like you said, Tennessee's acting as far as what they've done. Like, it seems to me they've taken on the persona of Tony Vitello. What does he mean to those guys? You know, like, I know the age of recruiting and how you recruit and how you attract these high prospects to your university is very, very complex. Is he doing everything he needs to get these guys and to sell them on, hey, this is Tennessee baseball from here on out as long as he's here?
Ramon, it's been amazing to watch because there's been as much development done from the neck up as from just making themselves the best possible position players, pitchers, you name it, they can be. Mm-hmm. Because when he arrived, and you could see it in previous administrations, that Tennessee would get off to a good start, but then SEC play would come along, and I think one of the big hurdles for them was to look over to that dugout and stop thinking, wow, that's an SEC team. Because Tennessee now realizes it's an SEC team. So it was as much the mental approach that has been as big a factor for this program with Tony Vitello and his staff as anything, because that's what they've shown. I think one of the more amazing stats, might be the most amazing stat, Tennessee lost back-to-back games just once this year, and that was both ends of a nine-inning doubleheader week two against Indiana State. They never lost back-to-back games against SEC competition, not once. Mm-hmm. And to me, that tells you you've got a team that has the faith and the belief in itself to get the job done. And you also have a lineup and a pitching staff. Somebody usually steps up to make that big play. You're not relying on just one guy to start the weekend on the mound. You're not relying on just one guy in the lineup to have the big hit. Everybody's had a hand in it. And I think it starts from their approach. And they do indeed embody what is the approach by their head coach in Tony.
One thing I've learned about our fan base, and I had to learn it all over again being back in Tennessee and being retired right now, is we are crazy. And we love our teams, okay? I can say that. You know how they say, well, you can say that because you family. Like, we're family.
Why don't you go back to Alabama?
Yeah.
The like, Jeremy Pruitt
call. All those type of things, okay? We're crazy, and we sell out. And that's the beauty and also the curse of it. But you're a guy who's calling the calls. You're calling these games. If you could, this super regional, how was it for you? How was it for the people who are in attendance? And just – what is the energy around this team right now?
Well, it's amazing, and it's really been something to see. And first and foremost, these guys deserve it.
Yeah.
When they had their season cut short, as everybody else did last year with COVID, they came back with a fire in the fall, and they worked as hard as they possibly could. And then as they got to go back on the field, they really appreciated it. It was a very simple mantra. It wasn't Omaha. It wasn't this. The first thing was play 56. You can't make up for lost time, but let's play 56. Tennessee and Texas A&M were the only two teams to play all 56 regular season games, and the Vols were the only team in the SEC tournament that played all 56. So it's just a very specific goal. And Coach Vitello said the great thing about it was that, you know, I'm sorry I don't have higher goals or aspirations, but this is what's most important to me in terms of my players. And I think the fact that they were picked third in the Eastern Division behind reigning College World Series champ from 2019, Vanderbilt, which was picked second, and preseason number one, Florida, this is a team that has met and far exceeded expectations. And I think it's a fan base, as you talk about, that is just so starved for something like this. Because Tennessee football, we may not remember, was picked third in the Eastern Division, won their first two, and then it was just a disaster from that point forward. In the SEC, Tennessee basketball was picked to win the conference. And while they did have pockets of success, didn't get past that first game in the NCAA tournament. And I know that had to be a disappointment. I don't think you can fault the effort, but I just think it fell short of expectations. This is a team that has exceeded to a great degree what was the expectation going into this year. And I just think that this is a program that continues to be the sum is greater than their parts. It's a team that's so easy to like. It's a team that plays with a chip on its shoulder. It's a team with attitude. It's a team with swagger. And I think all of that is that perfect storm for what a fan base could easily fall in love with, and they certainly have.
Vol Baseball's voice, John Wilkerson, also WNML and the Vol Network, joining us. the Grand Slam, the walk-off Grand Slam from Drew Gilbert, where does that rank in terms of your career, John? You've been around this for a very, very long time. And, you know, college baseball is not usually where you go to for highlights. And, of course, you've done a lot outside of the baseball world. But where does that moment rank in recent Knoxville history in terms of just one of those that you're never going to forget?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest moment for me on that field. Mike Keith was the voice of Tennessee baseball when Todd Helton and company punched their ticket to the College World Series. And to me, that's the only bigger moment on that field that's taken place. That was in 95. And then if Tennessee doesn't get that hit from Drew Gilbert, they're back where they were in the SEC tournament. You go into the loser's bracket and you have to play. You go from playing and trying to win three games to then having to play five games and win four straight. So I just think for all that it saved Tennessee from, as well as kept them in the winner's bracket, I do think that is the second biggest moment on that field. The only thing I would rank ahead of it was when they punched their tickets to the College World Series with the super regional trips to Kinston, North Carolina in 01 and to Atlanta, Georgia in 05. And even though they punched their ticket yesterday from Knoxville, which was really awesome, I still think the fact that they didn't have to come out of the loser's bracket in Knoxville really greased the skids for everything that we've just seen happen over these last five games.
When we're sitting here, you know, a couple of miles from Hawkins Field, and Vanderbilt has been really kind of the class of one of the top classes in college baseball for a while now, and we know what Tim Corbin has done. What does it mean from your perspective, John, for the state of Tennessee to potentially have two powers where a real rivalry could develop, where the fans can finally just have fun because they're backing winners in multiple spots in the same conference and the most dominant conference, to say the least, in college baseball as well?
Yeah, and right now the Volunteer State's looking pretty good as they are the only SEC team that have punched their tickets to Omaha. No doubt about it, Tim Corbin has set the bar really high. Mm-hmm. When you consider that they are the reigning College World Series champs, also consider what that was in 2019, which is the greatest single SEC season ever. You win the regular season, you win the SEC tournament, you win the College World Series, and that's just a testament to what that team was able to get done. Anybody can only match that going forward. Nobody can top that. Arkansas, I thought, might have a chance to take a run at it, but they ran into some problems with their starting pitching, and they're not going to make after they pulled the rare double, which is the regular season and conference tournament championship. So I just think it's, one, a reflection of what is outstanding homegrown talent. And I realize both Tennessee and Vanderbilt recruit well beyond the state of Tennessee, but I also think it's a celebration. We have great baseball east to west when it comes to the high school ranks. So I do think you can recruit heavily within your own backyard and then go out and add to your roster, as both coaches have done, Corbin and for as long as he has, and Tony Vitello and what he's proven in his 4 years. But I just think this is a sport where both the Knoxville and Nashville locations in the Southeastern Conference can compete on a national level, as Vanderbilt obviously has shown.
Yeah, and look, it's perfect timing because all the other sports aren't doing anything locally in the state, so they basically have all the attention. So the timing's right. So we do a birthday segment at the end of the third hour, and Ramon gets them wrong repeatedly, and it makes for really good radio. No, yeah, they may feel right, but they're wrong. Today would have been Pat Summitt's 69th birthday. As somebody that is so near and dear to just Vol Nation, they've heard your voice, John, for such a long time. It would be remiss of us not to get your thoughts on the great Pat Summitt before we let you go.
Yeah, Pat was just simply one of the best people I've ever had the pleasure to know. And one of the things that showcased that, there, I was working at one point in another life as a news director at a adult contemporary station. So we played the old hits. And so I was starting to just dabble in covering sports. And so I set up an interview with Pat. And, I mean, she sat next to me. She was so engaged in that conversation. I mean, it was as if I was with the national media. So she had that way of making anybody she dealt with feel so incredibly important. She was so gracious with her time. And the way she treated anybody was the way she treated everybody. Mm-hmm. And then you add to that somebody who changed not just her sport, but the world. You can't say enough about Pat Summitt, the person she was, the coach she was. But again, she's tops because of the lady she was.
Mm-hmm. It was only one coach on the campus from 04 to 08 who I was starstruck by. And Fulmer is great. Loved him. Bruce Pearl, awesome. All of that. But meeting Pat Summitt on campus and seeing just how cool she was. Hey, she deserves everything, okay? That woman was a legend.
Yep, absolutely the standard. All right, John. Well, we don't know how far they're going to take it, but there's a good chance that a team from Tennessee is going to be playing when this thing is all said and done. But it's awesome to have two teams, and it's awesome to see Knoxville rocking again for positive reasons. And it's great that we've had some time with you this morning.
Really appreciate the invitation. Guys, anytime. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. That's John Wilkerson, voice of all baseball. He's had some fun the last few weeks, last few months.
Oh, man. We got to have him back and ask him, you know, what is it going to take? You already know what I'm talking about when it comes to that baseball team.
Yeah, keeping Tony V.
What is it going to take?
In-house. We'll finish up the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio when we come back. Moan, Amani Hooker, the Titans tweeted out it's his birthday. To which I responded, yes, and Ramon Foster wishes him a happy birthday too, but also thought he was a New York Giant. We'll be right back. It is J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. One guy I was hoping was going to walk into this studio today was Will Bowling, who got dragged in a rehearsal dinner speech that I happened to be in attendance at that dinner on Saturday night. Had nothing to look. These weren't sports people. This was from my wife's side of the family, some really good people. But I guess they went to school with Will. They didn't like Will.
This is years later. I'm talking about, who were you, Will?
And he was just like, I'm sarcastic. I'm like, it wasn't to the bridesmaids that just crushed you in the corner at that circular table as we were leaving.
You said these could have been some women that Will could have potentially dated. And they want nothing to do with him.
Or maybe they were just remembering what he was like. Because Will's literally one of the nicest people ever met.
Who's at least 40 pounds heavier than he was from high school and still looks like he's the same weight.
Yeah, he's put on 40 pounds and now he's hit 100, so congrats.
Maybe Will was mean-spirited because he was so small, man. Like he had
not enough protein.
Had to bring you down to lift him up.
So, we'd probably put up a poll question if it doesn't leak at some point. Brady Mahomes or Emmitt Smith and Derrick Henry on the cover of Madden? Because it looks like it's two people. And it looks like it's a goat and a baby goat.
I have no idea at this point. Either way, they got us locked in to figure out who is. When's the announcement going to be? Does it say when?
Yeah, 17th.
The 17th mm-hmm. of this month.
Thursday.
3 days.
Yeah, today's the 14th. So 15, 16, 17. I include today. 4 days.
You just had to win that one.
Well, you're the one who looked at me twice and said 3 days.
3 days.
You're trying to win.
It just feels right.
Amani Hooker, New York Giant.
Yeah. Happy birthday, man.
Now people are listening all freaked out and having no idea what you're talking about.
Well, look, man, you miss this show, you miss a lot. Birthdays ends the third hour every single day.
People are busy, man. Come on now.
How many times do I have to push the podcast in one show?
I don't know.
You can't push it enough.
Seems to be
looking at our numbers. Seems like we're doing fine.
Hey, now we gonna be.
Jason gave me that look. Hey, producer boy, shut up.
Podcast is wherever you get your podcast, whether that's on Spotify, Google Play, if that's still a thing, and Apple.
Is Google Play a thing?
Yeah. Of course, you can watch us at Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, on Zone TV, as many of you have been this morning.
Mm-hmm. I just saw a Samsung phone. They're talking about putting a display on the backside of the phone.
Whatever, man.
A display on the backside of the phone.
That's stupid because you're going to put a case on your phone 9 times out of 10 because you're trying to keep it up. So you're going to have an open case, and those things all get yellow a month after you buy them. I used to like the idea of the clear case. I mean, I've got the blue 12 Max, and I love it. And I even have a black leather case, a blue leather case that goes with it. Yeah. But I want to see the blue because the phone looks awesome, but I don't want to see the blue because then that thing's going to get scratched in 5 minutes. So if you're putting that on the back, how are you protecting the phone?
Benny is the one that chooses violence. I just ordered a new phone case, and it's clear, Jason. I'm sorry.
I hope you got the right one, because if you didn't get the right one, it's going to be yellow and look gross like 3 weeks. It's going to look like it's been in a smoker's house.
The way my red one looks right now, I'm pretty much out of the race anyway, Jason. I'm pretty much out of that race, man.
Loud muffler guy. I didn't see if we actually put up a poll, but John Wilkerson said loud muffler guy by a nose.
Yeah,
okay,
we did
put up a poll.
Yeah, we did.
Loud muffler guy was running away.
Of course.
Yeah, he won.
What is it going to take to drop loud muffler guy?
I thought it was going to be
illegal recruiting.
I really don't know.
Bag guy.
I have no idea.
You know what? I might have the answer to that.
Who?
Jeremy Pruitt.
Just Jeremy Pruitt?
Yes.
Loud muffler guy or Jeremy Pruitt?
I think that might do it.
It might.
When are you going to admit you're not a ball coach and go back to Alabama?
This really pisses me off.
By the way, interesting fact also from this weekend with the cicadas.
And by the way, that was John Wilkerson that was doing that interview when that guy called.
Apparently, birds are exploding in Ohio from eating too many dead cicadas.
That's not true.
That's true.
That's why you don't feed. That's why you don't feed birds rice, because it expands inside them.
Yep.
They end up with like a coat hanger in their neck.
Take that with you, good people.
Can't be true.
That's true.
No, that's not true.
Look it up.
Birds eating cicadas and they're exploding.
They're exploding. They're getting too full. So many of them. It's a lot too.
Some people I wish would keep eating cicadas if that would make them explode. We'll do it again tomorrow. Buck Rising is coming up next for Ramon Foster and Jonathan Schaefer, who may not be here tomorrow if he keeps playing this sounder. I'm Jason Martin. We're on Twitter at JMart and Ramon.
And remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic are always hot, good people.
Stay away from the cicadas and please don't eat them.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.